convene the August 9, 2016 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings. At the outset, I have reviewed the minutes of July 12, 2016 and have executed them. Are we going to have to wait on announcements, or do we have any announcements?
We have a couple of announcements.
Morning, Mr. Vekelja. 568 Heinemann Street is in compliance as of July 12th.
I don't have the agenda.
Yeah, I don't see that on the summer's agenda, but that's all right.
Okay. 1100 South Ridgewood.
Okay.
That's in compliance. And 400 Fremont. Okay, it's not on the agenda, sir, but
okay.
Made that announcement. That's it.
All right. Okay, will all those representatives of the City of Daytona Beach who will be testifying this morning's proceedings please step forward and be sworn?
You solemnly swear and affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Okay, first off, who can tell me about case number one, Tudya and Kai Vall? They came into compliance?
Yes, sir. You may recall the issue that we had reoccurring on that had us coming back and forth regarding the case most recently was trying to determine a final violation related to the roof itself. Ultimately, what we were able to conclude, at least from our building inspectors, is the only ultimate determination of whether or not the repair is sufficient is whether or not it's still doing what it was doing prior to the repair, which was leaking. We don't have any evidence at this time that there's any leaking or other damage. The sufficiency of the repair, it's adequate enough that right now we don't know that there's any leaking going on a roof. That doesn't mean that it wouldn't reoccur in the next 3 weeks or 3 months in terms of whether it was a good repair, but it's enough that it satisfied the minimum requirements for compliance. So with that understanding, the inspector and the conclusion that there was not a requirement for a permit for them to apply the sealant that they chose to apply, the inspector put the property into compliance.
All right, I'm looking at the minutes. The minutes say, Mr. Recanzone stated more work was done on the roof that was outside the scope of the permit. Mr. Recanzone stated the permit needed to be adjusted to fit the scope of the work. So did this guy do something, or did we just adjust permits to allow whatever it is he did after the fact?
Mr. Recanzone, at that time, haven't spoken to him since, had the belief or the perspective that a permit was required to apply the material. After getting with the building official, it was concluded that a permit was not required to apply the material that they applied. Mr. Reckonzone's concern was that they did initially have a permit for roofing repair, but as we had discussed before, it was much more extensive than what they had ultimately did. At that time, it was supposed to be a complete replacement of the roof. Ultimately, what they did is only put the sealant on the roof. But again, the determination that we were made with the building official was that that was sufficient enough to remedy the violation as stated.
So the sealant that he put on was sufficient to replace the roof that was supposed to be replaced?
Well, it wasn't sufficient to replace the roof. What the violation was that the roof was in need of repair. That repair was due ultimately a determination that repair was based upon the fact that there was leakage in the roof and it was spotty past repairs. So, I mean, quite blunt and honest with the magistrate, the staff isn't happy with the extent of the repair, but and its assessment of whether or not it was sufficient to satisfy what they were cited for, the staff concludes that it was.
10-4. Okay, case number 2, Bobby L. Caldwell.
Okay.
This matter's here for the imposition of a fine. What say the city?
Mr. Chair, I don't believe I'll properly introduce myself for the record. Anthony Jackson, attorney for the city of Daytona Beach. In this case, it's been going on for a little, well, not that long, but the inspectors indicated that the only thing that the respondent is waiting for are windows that are on order, and he's asking that we that they remain in our compliance, but he's asking that we amend to the next cutoff so that they can complete the project.
All right, then based on our city's presentation, I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent to come into compliance by September 7, 2016. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 3, Gracie Land REI Consulting LLC. Matters here for the imposition of a fine. Come on up, Amy. What say the city? Well, do you want to get situated, or you want us to just keep going?
You're fine. I mean, if he says you're fine.
Go ahead and get yourself set up. Tony, go ahead.
Mr. Kelger, this property is here for imposition of a fine. And again, this is one that has been going on for some time. There are some new issues that have arisen regarding the process that requires an additional time. The inspector in the case is Mike Fitzgerald, and I will tender him to give you further explanation of what the status is. But as a result of these new issues, the city is agreeing to allow them an additional 60 days to come into compliance. Right now it's in noncompliance, but we're asking for an October cutoff compliance date, and I will tender Mr. Fitzgerald to explain that.
Good morning. My name is Mike Fitzgerald. I'm the City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Officer. My credentials are on file with the city. This is 158 Madison. This is the way it started. So this is the front building, and this is the way it looks today. Much nicer. They did final out the front building this week, so they're going to start working on the back building. So they're doing a very good job, and we look forward to be in compliance in October.
Very good.
Thank you.
All right. Then, based on the report of our attorney and the testimony of our inspector, I will amend our amended order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until October 5, 2016 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 4, J&amp;J Bryan Florida Incorporated. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Ms. Fekelja, this is before you for imposition of a fine for no permits for roof extension. You may recall that this was previously before you with an explanation that the respondent was going to seek a variance, and that's how we left off. At the last variance meeting, unfortunately, they didn't have a quorum, and it had to be continued. So we're asking to amend to the next cutoff. He would go before the variance board this month, and we should have answers and note, and should be able to have it in compliance by the next cutoff.
Well, when's this adjustment? What is it, a board of adjustment?
Yes, sir.
And when do they meet?
I believe they meet the third Thursday. I'm not certain, but I know it used to be a Thursday. 16th is what you were told? Okay, the inspector says he believed he was told it was the 16th of August.
So in any
August.
Event, the respondent's pursuing the variance request?
Yes, he's continued to pursue the variance request.
Okay. All right. Taking into consideration the circumstances as related by the city's attorney, I will amend our amended order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until September 7, 2016 to be in compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 5, 700 Madison Avenue Land Trust. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Ms. Fekelja, this property is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is John Stinson. As you may recall, at the last meeting, we had the involvement of a contractor, which was something that was not that was showing good progress. I think it was Crandall Construction. And the report of Mr. Stinson is that they are still working on it, they're making good progress, and he wants to amend to the next cutoff for compliance. You may recall we had two properties, one of them where they were able to comply, meet compliance at the last meeting, and we're still working on this one. Two units. Oh, where? Oh, never mind. They correction.
Okay,
they're both
so
still
Mr.
open.
Mr. Crandall still on the job?
Yes, sir.
That's good news in and of itself. And they're making progress?
Yes, sir. John Stinson, code inspector with the city. My qualifications are on file. Yes, Crandall Construction is making good progress.
You can correct me, please, Mr. Stinson. As far as I'm informed that the other property was in compliance, I don't think that's correct. The other unit.
I will be performing a reinspection of the entire property tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock.
Very good. All right, so anyway, we're amenable to extending his compliance date for another month?
Yes, sir.
All right. Based on our attorney's presentation, Mr. Stinson's testimony, I am amending our amended order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until September 7, 2016 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 6, Joseph and Barbara Daly. Anyone here for the respondent? Okay, not seeing a respondent. What say the city?
Mr. Vekelja, this is before you for imposition of a fine. Was continued from the July meeting. You may recall at that meeting you had some concern. We reported that it's an occupied rental. The tenant was refusing entry according to the owner. The staff's response and report to the owner was that he's responsible for allowing and obtaining the business tax receipt, and if the tenant is prohibiting that, then he needed to take whatever lawful actions he could take regarding the tenant. We have no knowledge of any lawful actions taken by the owner, so it remains in non-compliance. The staff is requesting a $150 a day fine to a maximum of $15,000.
What exactly am I fining them for?
Failure to obtain a rental license, and I guess they were able to get they went in and got the business tax receipt, which is something they were able to obtain online. And so the only thing they failed to do is obtain the rental license, which requires first an inspection and a determination of what's needed to determination of sufficiency, or if necessary, needs for repair.
All right, well, I'm a little confused here. The notice of violation says parking in the yard.
The parking in the yard has been remedied.
Then it says failure to obtain business tax receipt.
That has been remedied.
And then we go into something called failure to obtain a residential rental license.
And that's,
and you're telling me that their failure to do that has precluded you from conducting the inspection you would need to see if they qualified for one to begin with?
That's correct. That's part of the process, is them allowing the inspection or obtaining an inspection to determine that they meet the requirements of the city or the ordinance.
And you're proposing to fine them $150 a day for their failure to do that?
Yes, sir.
All right. Based on the attorney's presentation, noting the absence of the respondent and that this matter has been here addressed previously, I'm finding the respondent the sum of, what's today's date? August 9th? The sum of $100 per day commencing August 9th and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000. Dollars, whichever occurs first. Case number 7, Star Chariot Enterprise LLC. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Mr. Vekelja, the inspector in this case is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that the respondent has indicated to him that they believe they're all done. He's not quite sure that they're completed, but he has not been back to do a reinspection. That's something he was just told. And so he's asking to, he know that they've made great progress, and so he's asking that you amend to the next cutoff.
Okay. Based on the city's attorney's presentation, I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until September 7, 2016 to come into compliance or be returned to the magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 8, Cassandra Lee. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Mr. Kelcher, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector reports that he's been to the property for multiple reinspections at request of the respondent. The property remains in violation. The violations, many of the violations still exist. The only principal violation of the nonconforming use appears to be remedied, but all the other list of violations remain. Based upon the report of the respondent, it's likely that the, well, at least based upon the report of the respondent, there's no need for the business tax receipt or a residential rental license. They said they wouldn't be renting. However, the remaining items remain. Inspector reports a request that $200 day fine be imposed to a maximum of $10,000. As I said, the inspector is John Stinson. I attend to Mr. Stinson for any factual questions you may have.
Okay. So what did Cassandra Lee do to warrant $200 per day?
Good morning, John Stinson, code inspector. With the city, my qualifications are on file. I've been out to this property on multiple occasions at the request of the property owner. The original complaint was a rooming house situation, quite a bit of outside storage of junk and debris, and the house was just in general disrepair. Out of all the trips that I have made back there, the only thing that significantly has changed is the rooming house situation. All of the other violations do still exist, save the need for a business tax receipt and the business, or rather the rental licensing, because they're not going to rent the property anymore. Everything else still exists.
Okay. Does somebody occupy this property?
Yes.
Who?
The actual owner, Ms. Lee.
I'm sure this is a crass question. Is this house worth $10,000?
I'm not qualified to answer that.
Okay. All right. Well, as I stab around in the dark, then I guess this is what I'll do. I'm going to allow Ms. Lee until September 7, 2016 to get this house in compliance. Failing that, a fine in the amount of $200 will go into effect and continue each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $10,000.
Okay.
Case number 9, Carrie Lance Krupa. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Mr. Kelter, this is property is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that these items are broken inoperable window, exterior doors, plumbing fixtures. He went for an inspection, a reinspection of the property, and found all of these with the appearance of being repaired. However, no permits were pulled. The permits were required for these repairs. The window was a full window replacement, full frame and window replacement that will require load and various requirements for evaluation assessment by a building inspector. Same thing with the door, was a complete replacement of the door. And so while it's fixed, it was all done without permits. The staff's position is that it's not in compliance because he has no way to verify the sufficiency of the repair that it, because it hasn't been inspected because they didn't get permits. And so until they obtain a permit, we won't know whether they've adequately repaired the violations. And so that's the staff's position on that. So we have a request, don't we? So we're requesting a fine of $100 per day to a maximum of, this is owner-occupied?
Negative.
Okay, to a maximum of $15,000. And I turn to Mr. Stinson for any factual questions, sir.
So this is a rental unit?
Good morning, John Stinson, code inspector. City, qualifications are on file. This is a rental unit. There's actually two structures on the property. This is the rear structure, and in the rear structure there are two units as well. This is the front unit of the rear, and it is occupied.
Okay, what's the amount of the fine that's being sought?
$100 per day.
All right, have you gotten any cooperation from the respondent?
Mr. Jackson did explain, all of the violations have been visually corrected. I don't know if they're corrected properly because the permit process wasn't followed. Had that been done, there would have been a series of inspections by the building department to verify that it was done right. So,
is the respondent routinely notified that they need to get permits?
Yes, sir.
All right. So, Gary Lance Krupp, is that a he or a she?
He.
He.
Yes, sir.
So he was told he had to have permits. He did the work without the permits.
That's correct.
So right now he has to go back and get the permits in order to bring this into compliance?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm going to order that the respondent be in compliance by September 7, 2016. Failing that, a fine in the amount of $100 per day will go into effect and continue each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000. Case number 10, Joseph Janczewski. Yes, sir. If you would please state your name and be sworn.
Joseph Janczewski.
Raise your hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, Mr. Janczewski, we are here for a progress report.
Well, my progress is I submitted for a complete renovation for permits from the department downstairs, and I went to the police. I got a no trespassing sign for the property. The people that were in there, they're out. The dogs that were in there, they're out. Animal control come and pick them up. So I'm just waiting for the permits because I'm doing a complete renovation on the house. Everything.
Okay. Mr. City Attorney, are we prepared to propose a compliance date yet based on Mr. Janczewski's progress?
Yes, sir. The inspector is prepared to propose a compliance date. Mr. Stinson recommends a compliance date of 6 months from the six-month cutoff from today's meeting and a progress report in 60 days. It is a major project. It's there's a lot that has to be done, but the inspector believes that within that time period it can be done.
Okay, Mr. Janczewski, what the city is proposing is they think that, first off, they're happy with what you've done so far, and they think it'll probably take you 6 months to be able to get all this stuff done, and they're proposing you come back in about 60 days just to let us know what progress you've made.
Okay.
So we can tell if you're on track to do that or not. What do you have to say to that?
That's good.
That's good. Very good.
But I got one question. If the house is finished before the 6 months, could I call the inspector to come and verify it?
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hang on. All right, I will order the respondent then to come into compliance by February 8th of 2017 and further require the respondent to appear at our October 11, 2016 meeting for a progress report. Okay, so October 11th, you're going to come talk to us about what kind of progress you've made.
Yes.
And as it stands right now, you've got until February 8th of 2017 to come into compliance. Good luck to you.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Case number 12, Daisy Smalls Johnson and George Smalls Jr. and Vincent E. Smalls. Anyone here for the respondent?
Yes.
Good morning. How y'all doing? How you doing?
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Okay, as I recall, we were looking for a progress report because we had a problem with a tenant.
That's right. That's right.
What's the status of the tenant?
We're in a process now. I filed a 3-day notice to the court. Then I paid the court calls for the deputy to go out there and serve the person.
And she hid in the house. It wouldn't come up.
So I got all that done. Now I'm just waiting on the date to go to court for the property. Because you want us to get the girl out the house. And now we're just trying to set up a date.
We already set up a date. She's supposed to be at the house. She hides. Every time you go there, she hides. It won't come out. And she won't pay no money. She's been there ever since January 2015. She ain't paid nail penny since she's been there.
Yeah.
Okay. And she hides in the house. And if people say the servant knows on her, she hides. It won't come out.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know how these landlord-tenant things work, so... Given what you've done so far, do you have any idea how long it'll be before the court?
I'm going to do it today. Get it over with. Tomorrow one.
I'm going this afternoon to see if they set a court date for us to go to court.
And she's been there since 2015. They paid nail pen. 2015. And he won't let. He told me he won't hold on. I said, you ain't hold on. That's my house. I own the house. He don't own it. I own the house. And she told me, I ain't going to pay you nothing, old lady. She keep putting up. You know what she do? She calls and put and. She called to light, pay some water bill, and make us pay the bill. And he pays it, too. And I told him don't do that. He keep doing it over and over. He's scared of her. Okay. And she's an old lady, you got all these houses. You should let me stay here free. And she's so standing
there. I doubt he's scared of her, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, Your Honor. So we're just waiting on the court date. As soon as the court date comes, then we can make sure she's out. Then we can start doing the repairs on the house.
The house already been repaired on her. He's already been repaired. I done put $2,000. He done paid $2,000. She keep paying it all up. He ain't telling that part. He don't know what to talk about. We pay. He paid $1,000. I paid $1,000. He paid $2,000. I paid $2,000. Now he look at him later. He don't know what he's doing. And then another thing, Honor, can I ask you a question? If somebody's stealing out your bank account, getting all your money out there, and using your credit, your Social Security card, and using your money, and getting all the benefits, they've been doing that for 5 years, my granddaughter and her friends and things. It ain't paid me nail penny yet.
Are we talking about your granddaughter now?
Yeah, my granddaughter, Stephanie Green and Shia Johnson and Spencer and what else boy name?
Let's work our way back to this house for just a second here. Now, so you're going today to see the court date.
Yeah, have they set a court date?
Can they give you any indication as to how quickly these court dates come up?
They say about 2 to 3 weeks, I told.
And I want to tell about Joyce and too.
Yeah.
My daughter. All right. Does the city want to be heard on this matter?
Okay.
Your Honor.
Only to the extent that we're in the same position we were in last month. I think they were saying that she was hiding then and
mm-hmm.
And that nothing's changed. It's what's being reported by the inspector. Other than that, we'll leave it to the wisdom of the magistrate.
Okay. Are you George Jr.?
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, Your Majesty.
Okay.
Your Honor.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Can I say something?
Sure.
My granddaughter been staying in my house for 5 years, and she ain't paid me nail penny. Stephanie Green, Shine Johnson, and Spencer, And what other boy name?
Bradley Houston.
Bradley Houston. And four more people. I can't think of their name now. They've been staying there and paying me nail pen. Been there for 5 years.
You had seven people staying in your house?
Huh?
Seven people?
She's talking about different times. She's talking about different times.
She's talking about she's been renting from me. And she's using my address and everything. Yeah, going to my bank account, getting the money out there. And the bank told me yesterday they're going to sue her. I'm going to sue her and they're going to make them pay me all my money back. They've been doing it for 5 years. Stealing my Social Security check, my SSI check, and stealing all my, I don't get no benefits. They're stealing everything. Claiming my name and getting everything. They file income tax and use my name. And use my Social Security number and got all 10 of them filed my income tax and they took the money and spent it and gave me nail pen.
I don't know what to tell you.
I know what the bank from the suit.
You got a bundle of problems.
Huh? The bank from the suit and they're going to make them pay me all my money back. She going to my bank account. She went in Wells Fargo and stole out there. She went to Space School and stole all my money out there. And my daughter did the same thing.
Okay. I don't know what to tell you over there. I'm still trying to figure this one out over here.
I'm waiting. They said it'd take like two to three weeks before they set a date. As soon as they set the date, we can go to court and make sure she's out the house so we can start.
All right. Then here's what we're going to do.
Okay.
We'll, once more. We'll put you down on our September 13th meeting for a progress report.
Okay.
Now, hang on a second. This is where I get mean. I will work with you as long as you are keeping the pressure on this tenant.
Oh, yes, we
you
will.
Drop the ball on the tenant, then you're the owner.
That's
and you're
right.
The only one. I'm sorry, I misspoke.
That's right.
Anyway. You drop the ball on the tenant, then I'm looking to the owner to get all this done.
Okay.
All right. You know, I understand the circumstances. Mm-hmm. I don't want anybody resorting to any, you know, street solutions out there.
Yeah.
So do what you're doing.
Okay.
But I need to see the progress moving forward on that front.
Okay. As soon as we hear from the court and set a date, we'll go to
Very
court and get all out.
Right.
Thank you.
Good luck to you, and I'll
Thank
see you.
You
back on September 13th for our progress report.
At 9 o'clock, September 13th.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, John.
Good luck to you.
Okay. Have a best day.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome. Okay, Crystal G. Scott. Anyone here for the respondent?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Morning.
Jerry Finley. G-E-R-I-F-I-N-L-E-Y. L-E-Y.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Finley, your affiliation with Crystal Scott?
She's my daughter.
Okay, very good. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, I do.
All right, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. Mr. City Attorney, how much time do you think it should take for the respondent to be able to come into compliance?
Mr. Vakelja, the inspector is John Stinson, and Mr. Stinson reports that the he's been advised that the tenant has moved, and they've already begun making progress, and he's asking for next cutoff for them to be in compliance.
All right, Ms. Finley, the city is suggesting that by September 7, 2016, these things ought to be rectified. What do you say to that?
Yes, I had a contractor a week ago, and he's in the midst of getting a permit this week, he said, to do the
Very good.
Work.
And you're aware that you need to get a business tax or Ms. Scott needs to get a business tax receipt?
Yes, I don't think she's going to rent it, but if she decides to rent it again, she would do so.
All right, well, then just let the inspector know about any change in plans along the way that might
okay.
be amending these requirements. And keep in mind, at the end of it all, you have to have it inspected. Don't forget about that.
Yes.
Once it's inspected, he puts a notice of compliance in here, then it's all done.
Okay.
But make sure you don't forget about that final inspection.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Did I already order? Okay, I order the respondent to come into compliance by September 7, 2016, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Okay.
Very good. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 13, Susan Hansom Family, LTD Partnership.
Good morning.
Susan Hounsom. Yes.
Yes, apparently.
State your name, please.
Peter Ancona.
Can you spell your last name for me?
Ancona.
Can you raise your right hand? You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Ms. Hounsom, do we agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Some of them have been taken care of. Could you tell me the ones that have been taken care of?
Well, that's okay. We're getting a little ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
First, we just need to know if some of them, if they existed.
Yes, they exist.
And some of them still have to be attended to?
Yes.
All right, very good. All right, I find the respondent in noncompliance. Mr. City Attorney, do you know what work's been done already, or do you want to propose a compliance date?
The inspector reports, the inspector's John Stinson, and the inspector reports that it is a non-compliance as indicated. It's tenant occupied, and he's asking for a next cutoff for them to come into compliance. He also advised me that the tenant is here wanting to be heard or wanting an opportunity to testify, and I don't know. I'll leave that to the desire of the magistrate on whether or not you feel a need to hear from the tenant.
Okay. All right. Well, let's hear from Ms. Hounsom first. The city is suggesting that you ought to be able to come into compliance by September 7, 2016. What do you say to that?
I can do that if the eviction that I'm currently in, I'm evicting the tenant for non-payment of rent. She's put her money since into the court, and she has countersued me, and that hearing is on August the 15th. Her lease actually doesn't expire until September 19th. And so it may be that she is allowed to stay there until then. I don't know how that will turn out. But I've been trying to do some of these things. This is a gentleman who's been doing them, and we repeatedly have been denied access to do the items. And the code enforcement officer said, well, I'm telling her that you have to do it within, she has to allow you in within 24 hours. But when we've gone over to do that, she doesn't allow us in, or there's nobody at the door, or something like that. So we've managed to, I've just owned the house for 18 months. And the first tenant I inherited, after that tenant left, I went in and put on a new roof, and spent about another $9,000 in fix-ups and trying to make the place better, and putting in fans and putting in screens and putting in doors and putting in parking areas and putting in a new little boardwalk to lead from the parking areas, paver parking. And some of the things, according to the tenant, have not been done correctly. And so, but I'm not getting cooperation to be able to do them correctly.
Okay. Assuming the tenant cooperates, do you think you would be able to come into compliance by September 7th?
If the tenant cooperates, I can.
Okay, where's the tenant? Let's hear from the tenant.
I'm right here, sir. Good morning. Gail Calloway Johnson.
Solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right, Ms. Johnson.
Good morning.
You wanted to be heard on this matter.
Okay. There's a couple of misrepresentations. The first off, my lease expires September 20th, not September 19th. And also, I work two jobs, so I would get calls from the handyman, Pete, while I was at work on the weekend, texting me that he wanted to come into the house to fix things. I was not there. We texted back and forth. I told him that I was at work, that my schedule does not revolve around him, that was short notice for him to want to come. Text me at 8 o'clock in the morning that he wants to come out at 10 o'clock or 1 o'clock that afternoon to fix it. There was an incident on the 4th of July weekend. He texted me that he wanted to come out, and it wasn't 24-hour notice. I've never been given proper notice that he wanted to come out and fix stuff. With that being said, I thought when I moved into the house that the house was up to code. I didn't learn that it wasn't up to code until I ended up calling court enforcement after calling them to fix stuff that was wrong in the house. In December, we had no heat because the power went out in the house. The heating unit did not work. I was told that it did when I moved in the house. I ended up having to call Florida Power and Light because the electricity went all the way out. They came out and found out that the wiring to the outside of the house was worn. It was dry rotting. So he repaired one of the wires and got the electricity back on. So then I called Bill, who was the property manager, Bill Papagano, and let him know that I had to call Florida Power and Light because the electricity went off. Nothing happened until eventually after the winter was over. And I called him again late February asking about the stuff I had reported. Still nothing. And then in April, I finally wrote a letter to him, and I took it and hand-delivered it to him and told him that this is the stuff that's wrong, and I asked for a timeline to have it repaired. I didn't get one. So then in May...
Ms. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Let me interrupt you.
Mm-hmm.
We are at the point right now where the city is, I hate to use the word forcing, but forcing them to come into compliance.
Okay.
Now, the only thing I need to know is, are you going to provide them access to the house so they can do the things that have to be done to come into compliance? Because if that's the case,
mm-hmm.
I'm hearing the city say they ought to be done by September 7th.
Yes, they will.
If that's the case, I'm hearing them say they'll be done by September 7th.
Yes.
I'm not suggesting anybody's done anything wrong up to this point, because I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I don't care.
Okay.
Y'all can all go air that out at the courthouse. And there's a judge that'll be paid there to listen to all of that, and he'll decide who's right, who's wrong.
Okay.
Right now, I'm just trying to get the house that you're occupying up to code.
Okay.
So the question here is that these folks are going to have access in order to do this work to come into compliance by the date he wants. Or, if I don't think that's going to happen in a reasonable amount of time, then in good conscience to them, then I'm going to have to start giving them more time in order to try to figure out how to make this all happen. So, what do we have to do to make this happen here?
I just need 24-hour notice.
24-hour notice of what?
That they're going to be coming to the house. I work in Melbourne.
Okay, hang on 1 second. All right, let me see if that's going to fly.
Mm-hmm.
You keep waving your hand. What do you want to say?
Just so you know, there's only been one occasion that I gave her less than 24 hours notice, and it was a morning. It wasn't 8 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, that's fine.
You know, on three separate occasions,
I'm not going to buggy whip you here. That's fine.
Right, I've given you three separate occasions where I've gone up there. I've given them notice. I've had an arrangement. She works in Melbourne. I know that. On two occasions specifically, we discussed it coming after she got home.
Okay.
She never showed up, didn't answer her phone.
That's fine,
she didn't
that's
do
fine,
anything.
That's fine. Stop.
Okay.
Okay, I'm getting ready to tell you the new world order here.
Okay.
Okay?
I understand it, sir.
24 hours notice is not an unreasonable request.
But we've already had numerous occasions.
Okay. I heard you. I have a question. If we give 24 hours notice and there's nobody there to let us in, can we just go in?
No. If you'll let me finish the sentence, I'll tell you how it's. That's the new world order I was talking about there a moment ago. Okay. You give her 24 hours notice, okay? 24 hours later, you show up for work. And if you don't get in, then you write it down somewhere, okay? Because at some point, if that happens and you're not permitted access, then obviously September 7th is going to come and go. And then at that point, I'll be saying to Ms. Johnson, you told these people all they had to do is give you 24 hours notice, and it looks like that's what they did. And so at that point, I will be taking all that into consideration if it turns out you need more time to come into compliance. So just as long as everybody does what they're supposed to do, I'm not going to slam the door on anyone's fingers here. Okay, so we clear?
Yes.
All right, so give
I did have one issue. Just so they are aware, there are some of these things, although they're minor in terms of the extent of the repair, will require permits and a contractor. And so I don't know if they are aware of that. But even with that consideration, inspector, because they're very minor in the nature of the repair, the inspector believes they can do that and have the be in compliance by the next cutoff.
Okay. So it looks like you only got a finite number of things that have to be done here. So give her 24 hours notice, but more importantly, let's make sure you document everything that's going on. And if it turns out that Ms. Johnson's got conflicts and this 24 hours thing isn't working out, then I'll take that into consideration. All right, so, you know, and then we'll get through this, and that'll leave you all to go fight somewhere else over whatever it is you want to fight, wherever it is you're fighting. So, with that in mind, and also, you know, if you have problems getting in, not only note it so you can show it to me, but let your inspector know that as well. Right. I'm going to go ahead and order you to come into compliance by September 7, 2016, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. You know, without pointing fingers at anybody, I'm a little leery of that date just because I can feel the tension between the parties here. So my point is, okay, I'm requiring them to give you 24 hours notice, just like you asked.
Okay.
You document all your efforts to provide notice and what's happened after that. And if as a result of our doing this or Ms. Johnson's availability or unavailability, you're getting backed up against September 17, then you're going to let me know that. But more importantly, you're going to let the inspector know that as we go along. And like I said, if September 7 comes and goes, and you've done what I've asked you to do, and you haven't been able to get it done, then I'll be giving you additional time.
Okay, may I ask another question?
Sure.
You said that 24 hours notice and that she will have to grant it to us or we will, I'm sorry, or we will note it. In our lease, it does say that we can enter the premises with 24 hours notice if there is a requirement to do so to fix something. Can we honor that part of the lease and just go in and do it?
Okay, I'm not passing judgment on your lease, okay? The only thing I have before me is a code violation issued by the city of Daytona Beach. This is an administrative process. I'm not modifying your lease. I'm not rewriting your lease. I'm not doing anything to your lease. I'm sure your lease says if there's an emergency, you can go in there immediately. And if that's the case, I'm not telling you you can't do that either. Your lease is your lease. Go talk to your lawyer about your lease. I'm not changing anything about your lease. As far as this violation is concerned, and the potentiality of you being fined for not coming into compliance, that's where I'm requiring 24 hours notice as Ms. Johnson requested. But otherwise, I'm not changing your lease at all. And that ruling isn't changing your lease. So my point is, if you have to go in there, and under the terms of your lease you're allowed to, consult your attorney, and if that's the way it has to be, that's the way it has to be.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so again, I'm not passing judgment on your lease. All right, so, you know, we're here right now. What's the next thing you want to go do?
Fix.
Okay, I understand that. Can we be a little more specific?
Pull permits. I have a contractor already, right?
All right. Well, then you got to take care of permits for now to begin with. I was getting ready to line up your first 24-hour notice, but that's all right.
Yeah.
Go take care of your permits. You folks are going to have to figure it out. Okay? And Ms. Johnson, I can tell you're aggravated, whether you want to hear it or not. We need some cooperation out of you. And you folks, whether you like your tenant or not, I'm telling you to give her 24 hours notice, and I mean it. I would hope that you would be able to sit there and say, you know, like tomorrow I'd like to be able to come in at such and such and take care of the windows or take care of the roof or take care of the plumbing. And somebody would say, yeah, that's fine, sure, whatever. Okay, so y'all figure it out. All right?
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 14, Elmer L. and Sarah A. Flannery. Yes, sir, if you would please state your name.
Elmer L. Flannery.
Raise your right hand, please. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Yes, sir. As I understand, the notice of violation is a repeat violation for parking in the yard, outside storage, Well, let me just ask. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
They did, yes. I've cleaned up since then.
Okay, so they did have, they did exist at one point.
Yep.
All right, I find the respondent in non-compliance. Mr. City Attorney, how much time to come into compliance?
Mr. Kelcher, the city agrees that he's currently in compliance. As we indicated on the agenda, this is a repeat violation. He was notified of it being a repeat violation. Prior order of non-compliance for the same items was entered back on June 13th of 2014. The order said that he would be subject to a fine for each occurrence. The inspector reports that he has noted two specific occurrences. These are complaint-driven. And fortunately, because it was caught early, it seems to have been remedied relatively quickly. The inspector is requesting that a $50 fine be imposed for each occurrence, which would be a total of $100.
Okay. Gentlemen, I apologize. I'm going to have to take about a five-minute break here.
That's right. You were here. Well, I guess I was up at that time. Mm-hmm. So I think I was up.
Let's go, guys. Okay. So, repeat violation. Now in compliance.
That's correct.
And $50 a pop for something or other.
That's correct. That's
what
the status. For two occurrences. On the notice was that be subject to a fine for each occurrence. There were two occurrences. The inspector is John Stinson. That's what he reports and has photographed as well. And so he's asking for $50 per occurrence. As he indicates, it was nipped in the bud pretty quick. So, but nevertheless, it is citizen complaint, and it is something that we just tried to took care of just a couple of years ago, back in 2014.
Right, was there already a will fine in effect?
Yes, sir. There was a prior finding of noncompliance in June of 2014, June 13, 2014, on the same violations.
Okay, Mr. Flannery, city suggesting you ought to be fined because we've been down this road with you before, and we're doing it again. What say you to the will fine?
Well, if you look at the picture, sir, sometimes I have to park in my yard. I live right on a corner of a main intersection. I don't have but four parking spots. I have vehicles also. All of my vehicles are tagged and insured. I don't see any reason why I can't park my vehicle in my yard. My red truck, the black truck is now tagged vehicle. It's sitting in my driveway. The red truck, I back up in there when we have to get other vehicles in and out. It's not like the vehicles sit in my yard all the time like that. You know, there's four people that live there. There's four vehicles. We can't just, you know, move every time somebody's got to get out. We got to move the vehicle.
Okay. Well, I mean, you're not allowed. I assume the will fine is for parking in the yard.
Yes, sir.
All right. I don't know how to say it. I mean, I'm sorry you got four vehicles. I'm sorry you don't have a bigger house. I'm sorry you don't have a bigger driveway. I'm
then
sorry you don't have parking
in front
of your house. I'm sorry you got a commercial business that has vehicles of its own.
There is no longer no commercial vehicle there.
You know, but all that having been said, can't do it. I'm not going to fine you $100 this time. I'll fine you $50. I'll fine you $50 for the will fine. Next time, I'll fine you $250. Okay? So, you just got to keep the vehicles off the yard.
Okay, I'll park them in the street.
You do whatever you have to do, but first things first, and that is you can't park them in the yard. So I'm finding the respondent the sum of $50. Okay, this is the what I call the warning fine, because from this point on it's going to get more serious. So please do what you can to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Mm-hmm. I'll park them in the road.
Good luck to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, in any way, I found the respondent in non-compliance. I'm now finding this respondent in compliance, and I'm imposing a will fine for the two violations that were noted in this notice of violation, and the amount of the fine will be the sum of $50. All right, good luck to you.
Mm-hmm.
Case number 15, William Berner.
Yes, sir. May I show you something?
You need to state your name and be sworn first.
No. My name is Homer Phillips, and I own the property at 208 Arlington Avenue in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Homer Phillips?
Homer. Mm-hmm.
Do you solemnly swear
or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Phillips, what's your affiliation with Mr. Burner?
I show you.
I sold him this property, sir,
several years ago. He never actually took possession. He took ownership, but not possession. And we never personally worked the deal out, and so I ended up buying it back. We were business partners, sir.
So I take it that's an unrecorded deed?
It has not been recorded yet. It's not recorded, no.
It's 3 years old.
Unrecorded 3-year-old D.
Good claim.
I don't claim to be a real estate expert, but an unrecorded deed is zero notice of anything. Consequently, as far as this body is concerned, I suspect Mr. Burner is still the individual that's on the hook, but that's not for me to say.
That's the position of the city as well, Ms. McElger.
All right. Well, Mr. Burner, as it stands right now, as far as the city is concerned, still the owner of this property. I understand you're holding a deed and have held one for some time now. But since it's not recorded...
I'll be recording it today.
Okay. All right. If he's going to be recording the deed today, then what does the city want to do? Amend or re-notice or what? I mean, one way or another, our interest is in getting the house squared away.
Yes, sir. Everything is in compliance, excepting I applied for a business license. I thought I had one. I spent thousands of dollars on it several years ago, and I got a license, and I thought all you had to do was get one license, but apparently you have to get them yearly.
Four
license. Business.
The business tax receipt.
Yes. Yeah.
And yes.
Yeah. Okay. I have not done that.
Yeah, if I could step out.
Sir.
Mr. McCouch, the position of the staff is that, first of all, this is here for compliance and non-compliance inspectors, Cliff Reconzone. The position of the staff is that we would ask that we continue this to the next meeting. The communication that the inspectors had with Mr. Phillips is that he is working towards compliance or intend on complying. Our anticipation today was that we would have been asking for next cutoff for him to comply. If by next meeting he has it all remedied, we will be done with this. If not, then we'll give him the reasonable time following his change of ownership.
All right, then we will... Have already found him in non-compliance?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, I'm continuing all findings, and I'm not making any determinations yet. We'll continue this matter to our September 13, 2016 meeting. And in a perfect world, your deed will be recorded. You tell me the work's already done. They'll take a look at it and satisfy themselves that that's the case. You go on to get your business tax receipt. This thing becomes moot.
Okay, I haven't recorded it yet.
I understand.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I wasn't understanding. Sorry.
I mean, is it your intent to rent this property out?
I intend to sell it, sir.
mean, are you just going to be securing it until it's sold?
No. No, it has been rented now.
Okay, it's rented now. All right. Very good. Then we'll continue it to the September 13, 2016 meeting for Mr. Phillips and the city to figure out where we go from here.
Okay. Very good. Meanwhile, I'll be trying to sell it.
I understand.
And do we have your contact information or mailing address or anything like that?
No. I have a man here that takes care of the property.
Okay.
Who mows the yard and does maintenance.
Okay. Just give him your contact information.
Okay.
So we can make sure we get.
Very good. All right, AVS Investments, LLC. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent. What say the city?
Ms. McKelty, this is before you for determination of compliance and noncompliance. This is a rental property. The inspectors, Cliff Reckonzone, the inspector reports that the property remains in noncompliance. He's been provided information from the respondent that the tenant has been evicted and that they're working on the repairs. He's asking for next cutoff for compliance, I mean, for them to be in compliance.
Well, based on our city attorney's report, noting the absence of the respondent, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by September 7, 2016, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 17, Jim Anderson. Anyone here for the respondent?
Hi, it's me. So, I'm Janelle Neal.
Can you please state your name and be sworn?
State your name again, please.
Janelle Neal, J-A-N-E-L-L-E, last name Neal, N-E-A-L. I do.
And Ms. Neal, your affiliation with Mr. Anderson?
I'm his fiance.
Okay. You have authority to speak on his behalf at this morning's proceedings?
I do.
Mr. City Attorney, you satisfied?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes,
Ms.
sir.
Ms. Neal, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Okay. What I'm here to say that it's in compliance at this point.
Okay. Okay. Well, at one point, was it in noncompliance? Property is zoned SFR5, short-term rentals known as other accommodations.
No, I think that it's always been in compliance.
Pardon?
It's always been in compliance.
Okay. Let's hear from the city attorney before we turn this into a battle royale.
Ms. Kelter, this is before you for compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Cliff Reckonzone, and I'll for the factual information, I'd have to tender Mr. Reckonzone. The property is zoned single-family residential zoning. The only place where short-term rental is allowed in our city is in the T-zone or the tourist zone under our definition of other accommodations. So in the area where this property is zoned, it is not permitted, and I believe report of inspectors that they were advertising a short-term rental, and I would tender Mr. Reckonzone to give you any other factual information about the actual violation.
Good morning. My name is Cliff Reckonzone. My credentials are on file. When this case first started, it was a complaint-driven case. They were on two different websites for rentals, for HomeAway, and also on Airbnb for renting per the night. As of now, they are no longer on the website. I'm trying to find the other picture. The property is now in compliance. They're no longer advertising. All the evidence I had showing that they're in short-term rental is no longer being done is coming into compliance. But as the beginning of the case, they were online renting by the night.
Okay. Ms. Neal?
Yes.
Is that right?
Well,
at what time are you looking at? As far as I know, no. But also, I'd like to put in that I really only became aware of this whole event on Thursday when I picked it off my post office box. Jim's been up north for a couple of months. He's got back surgery, blah, blah, blah. So I've been taking care of this place on my own, living there, all those kind of good things. But Cliff needs to get a phone that's in order, because I call up and it says this phone number's out of order. So I called yesterday, and I just got his voicemail. That other fellow, Fitzgerald, actually called me back. But so anyways, I'm kind of short notice. But as far as I know, it's in compliance.
Meaning we've taken it down from these websites?
Yes, and it's been down for a while, I think.
All right. What's the relief the city's looking for?
Ms. McKelger, our standard relief for this is a finding of non-compliance and compliance. Basically, we will find finding.
Opening them up for the potentiality of a will find for what? Should they ever post this house as being available for short-term rentals?
Yeah.
I'm computer unsavvy, so...
Yes, sir.
If they ever post it again, they're likely to be hauled in here for another fine.
Yes, sir. Our code provides that if any kind of act or holding oneself out of such acts that will be in violation of our code is a violation. So they're holding themselves out as doing short-term rentals by advertising publicly.
What you're telling them is don't do it again or you'll be fined.
That's correct.
All right. You understand all that?
I do.
Okay.
And I appreciate it. Thank you. Okay. But you need to get a phone that works.
He was off yesterday. That's why I returned the phone call for him.
But the phone that's listed is out of order that you have on the paper. So
all right. Have I found the respondent in noncompliance?
No.
All right. I find the respondent was in noncompliance. I also find that the respondent is now in compliance. But I further find, given the nature of the violation, that for every repeat violation, the respondent will be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence.
Dang. Okay. I guess we'll be doing that.
Nope, I hope not. Very good. Good luck
to
you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Do we have any miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate?
This is August. No, I know of none.
Well, I still want to know about Tudge and Kaival. So what is the coating they put on that roof that managed to elude having to put the roof on they told us was originally going to be put on?
Forgive me
for being crude, but it sounds like they just slapped something on the roof and said we're now in compliance.
And that's how we feel.
Is that a reasonable assessment?
That's a reasonable assessment. It's our understanding it's over-counter.
On Ridgewood Avenue that is not making giant strides for mankind.
It's an over-the-counter sealant, roof sealant that they can get from Home Depot. I think that's where they got it from. I mean, Home. Yeah, I think he said from Home Depot.
And that's considered sufficient?
If the only act is you having to put it on yourself, paint it on, or spray it, or whatever, without having to do a system, then it doesn't require a permit.
Okay, so that's considered sufficient?
It's without any evidence that it's still leaking. They put a sealant that would stop leaks. Then that's all we have at this point. So, yes, that would be sufficient.
Okay. 10-4. All right. Okay. Anything else to be discussed? If not,
no, sir.
We're adjourned.